Hello, and welcome to the Mobile User Acquisition Show, a podcast to help you unlock tremendous growth for your app. My name is Shamant Rao. I'm the CEO of the boutique growth marketing firm Rocketship HQ and host of the podcast Mobile User Acquisition Show. In each episode, we feature experts in the field of mobile growth and discuss strategies, tips, and pointers from the leading edge of mobile growth marketing. By the end of each episode, you will have gained actionable and tactical insights that will help you make more informed decisions in your own work around growth. The Mobile User Acquisition Show is produced by Merrill Vincent, Content Marketing Manager at Rocketship HQ.
Our guest today is Lisa Kennelly, Global Product Marketing Strategist at Klarna. A marketing executive and a hands-on startup operator, Lisa has spent the last decade plus working for venture-backed, high-growth, mobile-first B2C startups. She currently works in product marketing and growth at Klarna and is also an advisor, coach, and mentor with System, Techstars, Norsken Foundation, Growth Mentor, Antler, and First Round Fast Track. Today's episode is a part of the Retention Club, a series of episodes that we are co-producing along with our friends Addictive. I'm excited to welcome and welcome back Lisa Kennelly to the Mobile User Acquisition Show. Lisa, welcome and welcome back to the show.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me back.
Yeah, you know, also excited to have you because certainly you described a very unconventional and interesting playbook the last time we spoke. Certainly you described strategies and tactics that I don't think a lot of people have tried, and I would encourage folks to go check out your past episode to find out more. And of course, today we are tackling a very different topic and theme, and you've shared notes for today's call, and I'm very impressed, and certainly also based on our pre-recording call as well, I'm certainly very impressed, and I'm excited to dive in today. So welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks. Let's talk some retention.
Yeah, let's make it happen. You know, and certainly there is a lot of generic advice about retention. I think that's just like, this is finally the year of retention. Retention is the new acquisition, and send emails on X days, send PNs, right? So there's a lot of advice that would appear to be somewhat relevant, but when you look closely, it's just generic. And you shared the last time we spoke that, you know, some of the more powerful opportunities are those that are specific to a product rather than something that can be generalized. Right, so talk to me about this and perhaps give me an example from your own work so it's a lot clearer.
Yeah, so I get why people want, you know, generic advice. You want to be able to implement it across a bunch of different businesses. And like, if I say it needs to be specific to your product, then you got to go out and do the work. So I get it. But the way I think about it is if you're trying to get people to start using their product, your product again, after they've stopped for whatever reason, hopefully you've uncovered why, I think the most helpful thing you can do is remind yourself of what the context they used you in the first place. Because I think it's easier and it's more relevant also to remind people of the value that they got the first time around or previously when they were using you, as opposed to try and like cross-sell them or upsell them to a new feature or a different feature, right? So there are definitely retention strategies that are around broadening the use case because they've tapped out one. But I would say, don't forget, you know, what's the first time that they used you and remind them to use you that way again, because assuming, hopefully, you delivered value on that the first time. So for example, like at Klarna, where I work, we have a team working on retention and churn. And what they did is they ran a test. It was targeting people who hadn't purchased in 5 months. And rather just being like, hey, remember we exist, or hey, come back to Klarna, they actually ran an A/B test that was testing. So shop again, Klarna is a payment harder to pay when you're checking out, right? So the test was, here's the place that you bought from Klarna the last time 5 months ago, 15% off if you go shop there again, right? So it's like, we know they're used to purchasing with this merchant. If we give them a little incentive, will they remember to do it again? Or, hey, shop at the same place. Remember you bought from H&M last time, wasn't that great? Did you know you can also use Klarna at these other different merchants, right? So both of those, it was testing, like, is it incentivizing them at the same place? Or is it letting them know they can use the same habit in a different merchant? Actually, the second one performed better, which is also a good reminder that you don't always need to use incentives to get people to come back, which I think is another tactic a lot of people use, like throw money at the problem. If you got the money, you can earn it back, great, but it's not always the solution.
Yeah, and that's a very good point about incentives, because it seems to be a very easy and convenient fix to a lot of retention problems. Get 50 clients or get 10% off. So that seems to be an easy fix, but you're right, that isn't always a lasting solution. So that's a great call out as well. In order to understand even what product-specific experiments to run, you have to have a very nuanced level of insight about the users, even just to formulate the two hypotheses of the sort that you talked about. You would have to understand very clearly which of the kinds of hypotheses you could actually test. So what are some of the ways that you and your team get these insights that folks could potentially look at and learn from?
Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's a couple of different ways. One is that we run an ongoing survey to people. So if you haven't purchased in a certain amount of time, like I said, it's around 5 months, and it's like long enough to say, okay, this does seem like this person is lapsing. You know, we ask them why, and we aggregate those insights. So those are on automatically. I also think, you know, qualitative customer conversations are amazing at every single point of the funnel, and I use those all the time. You know, it can be challenging to contact the people who've stopped using you. That's where I would use my incentive money more, is like, hey, right, I appreciate your time. You know, here's $20 at Amazon. Can I talk to you so I can understand why you churned, or why you used to be a strong customer, and why aren't you anymore?
Yeah, definitely makes sense. In terms of talking to customers, when we talked last, you did share how important it is to categorize or segment users, because like you said, someone that has churned would give you completely different insights from somebody that's currently a very heavy user. So what are some of the ways you recommend categorizing or segmenting users in order to get these insights?
Definitely a couple different ways. And I guess when we're talking about segmentation, there's kind of two different things. For example, at Klarna, when we're looking at that churn survey and seeing, you know, what are the reasons people churned, we actually found there's quite a lot of differences depending on the market. So that's also important to say, like, okay, is this consistent across all markets? For example, like in the UK and the US, which are a little bit slightly newer markets for us, more of the reasons people are not retained is because they don't understand the process, right? Versus in other markets, Germany and Sweden, they do understand it, but it's, you know, they didn't know there's use cases beyond their initial one, or they have concerns with customer service, right? So some of it's segmenting along, are there market differences you need to understand? And then you can create, you know, messaging or campaigns to address those concerns before the other customers who are in those buckets churn. But I mean, I also look at, are these people who were active for a long time and then they stopped, so they're at risk of churning, right? Or are there people who already have totally quit? And they will also, you know, you need to, they're also going to have different insights that you need to address and understand why.
Certainly the geo-specific segmentation can be hugely important as well, in addition to the other criteria that you did describe. Let's just say somebody's like listening to this interview and they're like, yeah, I want to go out and talk to my customers. Depending on the size of the companies, that could mean very, very different things. Mm-hmm. So how would you recommend this customer research or insight process to be different depending on the size of the company that someone is at?
If you have the resources to set up an automatic survey, I think setting up the sort of automatic trigger-based, you know, survey thing is one piece. The harder piece is analyzing the data you get in, right? So it's great if you've got this thing going around in the background, but if no one's looking at it, it's not going to add any value for you. This is where actually AI tools are great, you know, because then if you've got a way to sort of combine and then analyze that data and you're getting a report on it, so you're actually able to, we're setting this out automatically, we're collecting some data, we're taking the insights, we're feeding them back into ourselves, right? It used to be harder and now there are tools that make it easier. One tool that I know several companies are using and we're looking at is called Outset AI. I don't know what the price point is exactly, but that's like one. And there's similar tools that are looking at like, how do you take all this customer research and then get the insights out of it? I also think there's, you know, you've probably seen this in these cancellation steps, right? It's like a win-back approach where, you know, you try to cancel a product and they're like, are you sure you don't want a deal? Are you sure you don't want a deal? You know, they do all the things. And when they're really, really sure, they're like, no, they can't win you back. They have a mandatory, why are you canceling question? And you cannot cancel until you answer that question. And like, worst case scenario, you lost the customer, but you got an insight out of it. I feel like ClassPass does that. Headspace has done that before. So that's another tool where it's just like, okay, in your cancellation flow, are you collecting that insight? Yeah. And then also, like I said, you know, like I said, the sort of lapsed ones, the people who used to be active, but they stopped. If you look at your data and say, here's the segment of people, we can see they were getting value. They aren't anymore. Those people are going to be, hopefully, you know, they really loved you at some point, and hopefully they're willing, if you reached out, you know, whether it's from even the founder level, like, hey, I saw you used our product and you stopped, I'd really like to understand why. I think you'd have a decent response rate on those, even if it's just a segment, like, let's pick five of these and have the, you know, somebody pretty high up in the company do the outreach.
So, yeah, and you're right that, you know, AI makes a lot of this a lot easier. I think in the past, a lot of this was very painstaking. And now, again, a lot of my work's not on the retention side, but something we've just done is take a bunch of user reviews, upload them to GPT, and just say, what are the big messaging talking points that we can use in ads on the acquisition side? Whereas this was something that was always on our list in the past. We're like, we should do this, but who's going to review? Why do you do this, you know, of surveys and reviews? But you're right that AI just makes it so much easier.
Exactly. And another thing you can do with some things, if you're looking at your customer support tickets and the things people are writing into customer support, what are they complaining about? Aggregating that in the same way and analyzing what is the things that people are upset about the most? What are their continued frustrations, and are we really addressing those?
Certainly.
It's not just that you have to create something new to collect this. Like, you probably are collecting all of this information and you don't know it yet.
Yeah, and now you have the tools to process them. GPT is nothing else, right? Just upload everything in GPT and ask it to analyze. Certainly, you could use most specialized tools like Outset and stuff that you mentioned. Certainly, you could do those as well. In terms of running these analyses and the user research programs like these, what kind of cadence or frequency would you typically recommend?
I believe generally, you should be talking to your customers, honey. Weekly basis, right? Just in general. I think how often you're speaking to them about specifically like the retention piece of the funnel or later on in the journey, I would say depends on how critical it is for your business right now. So if your retention or your churn is not really hurting you so bad or it's sort of the normal level expect, then maybe that's not what you prioritize. So that is kind of depends on your business. Otherwise, I just think monthly, you're keeping an eye on it, right? If the numbers are fluctuating a lot, you know, then we need to maybe dig into the ongoing insights we're getting, and do we need to do a deeper dive? Do we need to look at, like, we're seeing a spike and why is that happening?
Yeah, and you're right. Depending on how serious the issue is, I think that can govern the frequency. In our pre-recording briefing, you talked about instances where companies think that they have a retention problem, but they actually have an activation problem and not a retention problem. Can you talk about this and elaborate on what you mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is actually most of the case, or a lot of the time, the people never got activated in the first place. And my colleague, Matt Lerner, he has a great Twitter thread on this, which is how they tackled churn at PayPal. It's basically, if you go on a first date with someone and then they ghost you, that's not a divorce, that's an activation problem. So that's the same thing. It's like, these people, they're not divorcing you. It's like, you never really clicked in the first place. So if people used your product one time, and they churn, that's not a retention issue. That's like activation, that's onboarding. And depending on the product, of course, it's not one, it's probably several times. It's until ever they get habituated. If you're not getting to that step in the first place, your retention's less the problem than your actual activation and people seeing the value you're providing. So that's why it's the segmentation. Let's separate who are the people who are not activated. Do we need to fix things there? And then, okay, these are the people who are activated. Are we retaining them effectively? Why or why not? Those will be totally different approaches to fix those things.
Going back to where we started, in terms of one size fits all solutions. So the classic example would be, we miss you. Everyone's seen that. A lot of us assume that it's ubiquitous because it works. And you share that that may not always be optimal, if only because people are kind of burnt out by that. Can you elaborate on why that's not effective and what you would recommend that people do instead?
It probably did work back at the beginning of push notifications. People probably thought it was novel. But the problem with that, I think, is right, it's like it's supply side thinking. So it's basically inside out. You're thinking in the perspective of your company. Your company misses the person. So they're like, hey, and the customer does not care. Right? Your end user is like,
Yeah.
Who cares if you miss me? I signed up for you once, like it didn't work, or I forgot, whatever. You as a company missing the customer doesn't do anything, doesn't solve the problem, doesn't address any of the reasons they want to use you. So if you know the reason they actually signed up in the first place, or if you know the reason they stopped using you, then like communicate that, right? Give them a good reason that they should use you rather than just you like whining and banging on their door. One example we're testing now is in the US and a lot of other countries, it's tax refund season, you know, so people maybe have a little more extra money in their wallet so they can come and buy something with Klarna because we help you buy things. So we've been testing messaging that like, this is a contextually relevant message. Hey, it's tax refund season, check out what we have to buy. And that's like, because if you have a little extra money to go shopping, you might think about how you want to pay for it as opposed to just, hey, remember we exist. So that's general. Think about it from like, what's the message if you were the customer that you would receive that would make you think, oh yeah, that was a great experience using it before. I should go try it again.
For some reason, I think your example about the first date would also just be very relevant in this context because you don't want to send them a I miss you after a first date.
It's totally true. It would be
very weird.
It would be a little bit weird. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Like you can maybe say I miss you. You could say I miss you if it's someone who has been using it for a long time and then stopped, right? Like there's a time and a place for it if it's contextually relevant, but I see it using pretty broadly.
Lisa, this has been incredibly insightful. Thank you for sharing actual examples and actual strategies. And much like last time, I really appreciate how concrete a lot of your examples and recommendations are. This is perhaps a good place for us to wrap. But before we do that, can you tell folks how they can find out more about you and everything you do?
Yeah, sure. Thanks again for having me. It's real fun. And it was really fun to do the research for this and like check in with our retention team and various people. So thank you for giving me an excuse to go brush up on my retention tactics.
Yeah.
You can find me on LinkedIn where I am sometimes active depending how I feel. And I also am a coach in a program called System, S-Y-S-T-M. So you can check that out, system.co. And sometimes we also teach courses on maven.com. So you can find me there as well.
Yeah. Excellent. Yeah. And we will link to all of that in the show notes. But for now, this is a good place for us to wrap. Thank you so much.
Thanks again.
Thank you for listening to the Mobile User Acquisition Show. If any of this was helpful or instructive, I would love for you to leave us a review or rating on iTunes, Stitcher, Overcast, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast fix. This podcast takes a ton of time, effort, and love to produce, and I deeply value every review and every piece of feedback that you share.